had some new glasses there, and I wasn't sure if they were going to work, and go back to the old ones. Okay, Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. We'll be continuing our study, and I know I keep saying this every week, but I am sure enjoying preparing these messages and digging in this book of Colossians. It's so incredible. It just magnifies the all-sufficiency of Christ on every page, every verse. It's incredible. It's incredible. The name of the message tonight is Complete in Him. I'll read the context of the verse. We'll read verses 8 to 12, but our verse for tonight is found in verse 10. Complete in Him. Colossians chapter 2, starting in verse 8 and going to verse 12. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in Him, being Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in Him, being Christ, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with Him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised Him from the dead. Oh my. Tonight we'll be in verse 10. And ye, being the believers, the Colossian believers, and we who believe tonight, who are reading this, and ye, and all the elect, and ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. So last week we looked at verse 9, and we looked at how all the fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily in Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is the perfect Redeemer. Remember, we looked at that. He's the perfect Redeemer. He's the perfect Savior. He's the perfect surety of His people. He's the perfect Savior. He is the God-man. He's the God-man. God incarnate in the flesh. Fully God and fully man. And we looked at how in Him all fullness dwells. And He is perfect. Perfect. Therefore, nothing needs to be added to Him, and nothing needs to be added to His work, because He's perfect. He's absolutely perfect. We're imperfect, aren't we? I am. And do you know, only sinners admit that they're not perfect. We are imperfect beings. Imperfect beings. We are sinners by birth, nature, and choice. But He is perfect. He is perfect. And let us remember this. If we allow anyone or anything to turn our eyes of faith away from Christ, we're turning away from the true and living God. And how do we know that? Because all the fullness of the Godhead dwelt in Him bodily. He's God. He's God in the flesh. So if one turns away from Christ, they're turning away from God. They're turning away from God. Now, Paul has written this epistle, and we know by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he's written this epistle to combat works mongers. And works mongers are anyone who adds to the finished work of Christ, anyone who says there's something that you have to do in order to be saved, adding to that which Christ has completed, who are trying to carry the Colossian believers away. And we looked at how they're trying to carry them away, spoil you in verse 8, is carry you away like a spoil, like their own little treasure, through vain deceit, to the traditions of man, and after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. And not after Christ. So Paul, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, has penned this to combat works-based false preachers or false teachers. Now, something I want us to ponder as we look at this study tonight is that the Scriptures declare in verse 10, the Scriptures declare this is not our opinion. This is what the Scriptures declare, right? And one thing, Vicki mentioned this several times, and through the years I've noticed this too, listening to different grace preachers. The one thing that she loves about grace preachers is we just preach what the text says. We don't add anything to it, and we're not supposed to. The Scripture says, and ye are complete in Him. The Scriptures declare this, that the believer in Christ is complete in Christ. This is plainly stated in our verse tonight. For in Him dwelleth, let's do verse 9. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in Him. You're complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. Now think of this in contrast. The false teachers in Colossae were adding works with grace. They were saying that we're not complete in Christ. They're adding philosophy and vain deceit and tradition of men after the rudiments of the world to the finished work of Christ. And beloved, this still occurs today. Nothing's changed. The false preachers and false teachers are still doing the same thing today. They're telling people that they have to do certain things. So the workmongers of our day are the same as the worksmongers of Paul's day. There's no difference. There's no difference. They may have difference in how they approach things, but they're all telling you that it's something you have to do along with something Christ did. Well, that's just a lie. That's just a lie. Grace preachers preach Christ crucified. We preach the one in whom the believer is complete. Everything, do you know that everything that I need for my salvation, and if you're a believer, everything that you need for your salvation, everything, I mean everything, there's nothing left out. Everything is in Christ. So if everything's in Him and we're complete in Him, that means there's nothing for me to do. Oh, may God, the Holy Spirit, illuminate the Scriptures for us tonight, that we might delight. That we might delight in this truth right here before us. That we might delight in the precious truth of the believer being complete in Christ. Because it's a delight for the believer. It's a delight. Oh, all that we need for salvation is finished by the work of Christ as our substitute, beloved. Oh, that we might leave this place delighting in the fact, if you're a believer, delighting in the fact that we're complete in Christ. May we meditate and think about it the whole week. Seriously, we're complete in Christ. And we'll look at the Greek word, the Greek definition for the word complete. I think it'll fill you full of joy. It's finished means it's finished, beloved. It's finished. That's what my king cried out. It's finished. So let's go back to our text. And ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. So let's look at the first part of this verse. Now Paul is here speaking to Colossian believers. So when he says, and ye are complete in Him, he's speaking to Colossian believers. He's speaking to God's people who have been regenerated by the Holy Spirit. He's not speaking to everyone. He's speaking to the saints of God, regenerated by the Holy Spirit, the ones who have fled to Christ as their only refuge, the ones who have went to Him because He is the eternal refuge for our eternal souls, isn't He? He's the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He's the only one we can find refuge in. And so here is what Paul, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, pens to the Colossian believers. Now remember, they're under attack by all these different things, right? The Gnostics, also by the Judaizers. They're under attack. So Paul pens this Those believers are under attack by the false teachers saying that Christ alone was not enough, that Christ alone was not good enough for their salvation, but that they had to add, that they had to add their works, that they had to add traditions, that they had to add ceremonies. Or he writes in order to be saved. And Paul writes this by inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. Remember this. And this is just as much for us as it is for the Colossian believers, beloved. And ye are complete in him. Paul writes to the Colossian believers that they are complete in Christ. And let us remember again who Paul is talking about. As the verse preceding this one proclaims that all the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwells in Christ, right? He is the perfect one. He is the all-sufficient Savior. He is the perfect, spotless Lamb of God. And Paul is writing to the Colossian believers that they are absolutely complete in the Lord Jesus Christ. They're absolutely complete. Do you see how he's countering the attacks that are coming at them? Do you see how he's countering them with the truth? So the false teachers say, Vicky, you need to have traditions or works in order to be saved. And Paul's saying, Vicky, you're complete in Christ. That's what he's saying to the Colossian believers. He's saying, you're absolutely complete in Christ. Oh my. Brother Henry comments on this portion. Brother Henry Mahan comments on this portion of Scripture. He says this: we are perfect in him. Now we're sinners, aren't we? We're still sinners. He's not teaching sinless perfection here. He's talking about our standing before God in Christ. We are perfect in him. We just let that sink in for a minute. Oh my. He is perfect, and our being in him makes us perfect. This is not speaking of what we shall be. Now let's get a handle on this. This is not speaking of what we shall be. This is speaking of what we are right now in Christ. And ye are complete in him. He's writing to Colossian believers on this earth. He's telling them, you're complete in Christ right now. Right now. But we're sinners. But we who believe are clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Oh my goodness. And ye are complete in him. Complete in him. Complete in the all-sufficient Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the Greek word for complete is defined in this way: to make full. When something's full, you can't add anything to it. Do you see again the contrast that Paul's then writing? The Greek definition even battles what the false teachers were trying to say. It combats it. To make full. That's not all though. It says this: to make full, to fill up, to fill to the full. I like this: to cause to abound, to furnish or supply liberally, just overflow. To render full, to complete, to fill to the top so that nothing shall be wanting to full measure. Fill to the brim. You're so complete in Christ, you who believe, that nothing can be added. Right? It's amazing. Listen. It goes on though. To make complete in every particular, to render perfect. Again, this is not talking about sinless perfection, because we will not be finished with our sin. Because we battle with this body of flesh, right? We're sinners until we get home to glory. But we who believe are saved sinners. Do you remember in chapter 1 it talked about us being blameless? It talked about us. Oh my. And we know from other scriptures. Look at verse 22. In the body of his flesh of chapter 1 through death to present you what? Holy. And unblameable. And unreprovable in his sight. Sounds like someone who's made perfect. My goodness. And let us always remember, it's always in Christ. Always. And that's what Paul's really stressing here. For you are complete in him. In ourselves, we are weighed in the balances and found wanting in ourselves. But in Christ, ye are complete in him. The definition goes on to this. It says, in matters of duty to perform, execute, Christ did all that was demanded for us in our place. Of sayings, promises, and prophecies, being this is the definition for complete, to bring to pass, ratify, accomplish. To fulfill, i.e. to cause God's will, as made known in the law, to be obeyed as it should be. There is the substitutionary life that Christ lived for his people. And God's promises given through the prophets to receive fulfillment. Do you see why Paul penned in Ephesians that all spiritual blessings are in him? So since the believer is in him, he's the head or the body, right? Then we're complete in him. In Christ. Doesn't the salvation get more and more marvelous as we grow in the grace and knowledge and truth of Christ? My goodness. What a Savior we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. You know how I always say that when we read Scripture and when we study or hear the Gospel, it's like we're mining a mine that's just full of jewels and riches. I was talking to Brother Norm about that. And he said, yeah, but the one thing with the Scriptures that's amazing is that we mine jewels that are already polished. They're already shiny gems that the Holy Spirit illuminates the Scripture and we go, oh my goodness, look at that. Oh, it's wonderful. So let we who believe ponder this, that by his one offering for sin, our Lord Jesus Christ has perfected us, his chosen people forever, and we are complete in him. And think on this. Absolutely nothing can be added to perfection. You can't add anything to perfection. And also think of this. When something's complete, you can't add anything to it. Because it's complete. When something's finished, what's that mean? It means it's complete. Eh? You can't add anything to it. Let us remember the words of our Master. It is finished. And ye are complete in him. In Christ and him alone. Vicki and I were talking about this last night. And as I read her this portion here, and ye are complete in him, she brought out that it's a state of being. It's a state of being for the believer right now. And ye are complete in him. And notice, again, it's only because we are in Christ. And ye are complete in him. In Christ. This verse clearly states that in Christ our Lord, we are complete. Because in him dwells all the fullness. We found that out the verse before. Of the Godhead bodily. And being in him, ye are filled. You're complete. And again, let us think on this in light of the false teachers at Colossae. The false teachers are proclaiming to the Colossians that it is something you must do along with Christ. Again, whether it be certain ceremonies or whether it be certain traditions, things that you must do, duties that you must perform again, or certain truths that you must know. And of course, only they can impart these supposed truths. But think on this, in light of what Paul has penned here, they are all additions. They are all additions to Christ, and they are all lies, because we know that we're complete in Him, because that's what the Scripture declares. So if someone comes and says, well, you have to be baptized to be saved, and there's a whole sect out there that says that. No. I'm complete in Christ. That's a lie. That's a false gospel. They say, well, you have to speak in tongues in order to be saved. It's evidence that you're saved. No. I'm complete in Christ. That's a false gospel. That's a lie. Well, you have to belong to this church in order to be saved. No. I'm complete in Christ. And that's a lie. See how we can apply that? You have to worship on Saturdays to be saved. No! I'm complete in Christ. They're all additions. They're all man's traditions. They're all doings and duties. And beloved, that's just a short list. It goes on and on and on. And ye are complete in Him. So if anyone ever tells you need to do something in order to be saved, you say, no, I'm complete in Him. I'm complete in Him. Oh my. And the false teachers of our day, as I say, they do the same thing as the false teachers did at Colossae. They say, they add something that you must do in order to be saved. And think of this. Think of this. It's in direct opposition to our verse tonight, isn't it? It is. Anybody tells you have to do anything? Anything. Right? All my sanctification's in Christ. He's my wisdom, my righteousness, my redemption. Everything's in Him. I'm complete in Him. This is wonderful news for the believer. Now, we'll look at later on, that doesn't give us a license to go crazy. Not at all. The Holy Spirit constrains His people, even though we're sinners. Why? But do you see how adding anything to what Christ has done is in direct opposition to this Scripture and many others, beloved. Many others. And it's actually in opposition to this book. Because we know all through this book, this is all about what Christ has done and how He's redeemed His people. My, think of this. If God hadn't given us faith and repentance, we wouldn't even believe. My goodness. What a great God. What a great Savior we have. And so what's the conclusion? Is salvation's of the Lord, period. When we look at this verse, it says in Christ the believer's complete. So gospel preaching, think on this. Gospel preaching tells you to look outside of yourself. Doesn't it? It tells you to look outside yourself. We're to look to Christ. We look outside of ourselves. We look to Christ. The false teachers tell you got to do something. False religions too, Buddhism and all that. They tell you look within. Gospel preaching tells you look to Christ. Look outside yourself. You can't save yourself. Only Christ can save a sinner. But false teachers will tell you to look within yourself, look to certain duties, look to traditions, look to things, look to you, right? Grace preaching says, look to the one. Look to Christ. Flee to him, because salvation is in the Lord Jesus Christ and nowhere else. And only in Christ is the believer complete. Complete. Nowhere else. So let us ponder this. The scriptures declare, let us ponder this. Let's ponder this in light of our verse tonight. And ye are complete in him. The scriptures declare that there is none righteous, no, not one. That means everyone. That covers everyone born this top side of God's earth. Right? There's only one man who is born perfect, and that's Christ. But all the rest of us, we're born sinners. And Scripture declares there's none righteous, no, not one. And that all our righteousness, all our doings that we do to try to gain merit and favor with God, they're all like filthy rags in the eyes of the Lord. But then, the Scriptures also declare this, that those who are born this way, and those who are born this way and believe on Christ, are made the righteousness of God in Christ. My goodness. And then the Scriptures declare that there's none that seeketh after God. Absolutely none. None. Okay. But thanks be to God, the Scriptures declare that God's people are made willing in the day of God's power. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Turn, if you would, to Hosea. Hosea chapter 11, verse 4. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. By nature and by birth, we do not seek God. But God, the Holy Spirit, makes his people, his sheep, right, which were given to Christ by the Father in eternity, he makes them willing. Now look at this verse in Hosea. I draw them with cords of a man. Now this is with cords of love, because look what it says. Hosea chapter 11, verse 4. I'm sorry. Hosea chapter 11, verse 4. Look at this. And keep in mind, the verse that we always use as grace preachers, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, right? God's power, God's people are made willing. Look at this. I drew them with cords of a man, with bands of love. Bands of love. Now I was reading the commentators, and they said this isn't like a cord you put on a horse or on a cow and you drag them. No. This is lovingly being drawn. Lovingly. Bands of love. And I was to them as they that take off the yoke on their jaws, and I laid meat unto them. I drew them with cords of a man, being Christ, with bands of love. Oh, my goodness. This drawn to Christ is not produced by human persuasion or by human power, beloved. It is the divine work of God the Holy Spirit wrought in the soul, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. The sinner is drawn to Christ by the Holy Spirit, and in him drawing us, we are brought to our wonderful Savior. We are brought to look to Christ in him alone. We are granted the gift of faith to believe. And we look to Christ, and we flee to Christ, and we hear the shepherd's voice. Our ears are unstopped, and we hear the shepherd's voice in the preaching of the gospel. And in Christ, all the sinner's needs are found in him. Because the believer is what? Complete in him. Complete in him. He is both shelter and food, the teacher and the feeder of his redeemed. He's the bread of life and the water of life, the garment of salvation and the whole glory of his people. Unwilling sinners made willing. With bands of love. Turn, if you would, to John chapter 6, verse 44. So there's none that seeketh after God, but we just saw in Hosea that he draws them with cords of a man, with bands of love. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Turn to John 6, 44. And keep your finger there because we'll be looking at verse 45 right after. Look at this. No man. And no man there means no man. No man. Can come to me. Well, there's a whole bunch of people saying out there that God's wringing his hands. But that's not what the scriptures say. They're saying that God's wringing his hands and saying, he's done all he can do, now the rest is up to you. But the scriptures declare that no man. Someone's lying, and I know it ain't God. No man can come to me. This is words of our Master. No man can come to Christ. What? Except the Father which has sent me, draw him with bands of love, beloved. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me, draw him. The Greek, that's drag him. And I will raise him up at the last day. So those who are not seeking God, his elect, who are born dead in trespasses and sins, are made willing. The ones who can't come to him are made willing. Except the Father which has sent me draw him by the regenerating power of the Holy Spirit of God. Oh my, salvation's of the Lord, beloved. It's of the Lord. Look at this in verse 45. We know that scriptures declare that there's none who understand the things of God. But praise be to God, his people are given eyes to see and ears to hear the gospel. And they trust and rest in Christ alone is all their salvation. In all the redemption. Look at verse 45. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Who? Well, the ones who the Father draws to Christ. And they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard, they're given ears to hear. Scripture says there's none who understand, but these understand. Only by the power of the Holy Spirit of God, regenerating them. And hath learned of the Father. How do they learn? Because they're taught of God, it says in the verse. Learned of the Father cometh unto me. Oh my, salvations of the Lord, beloved. At one time we knew absolutely nothing about these glorious truths. There was a time when I didn't have a clue about any of this stuff. And I wouldn't have a clue still unless God revealed them to me. So I can't claim anything of my own that I've learned. Everything I know, God's revealed to me. Everything you who believe, yeah, brother, no, you're not. You know, brother. Everything we believe, everything we know has been revealed to us by God the Holy Spirit. And he continues to reveal Christ more and more to us. Isn't it wonderful? What a great God. What a glorious God. What a merciful God we have. My, turn if you would to Ephesians 1. There was a time, as I said, when we knew absolutely nothing about these glorious truths until we were quickened by God's Holy Spirit and were taught of him. And now, knowing that we are complete in Christ our Savior and that nothing else can be added to that which is complete, right? Nothing can be added to that which is complete. By faith we rest our eternal souls in the Lord Jesus Christ. In what he's done for us. Let's look in Ephesians 1, and this will take us right into the latter part of the verse. Look at Ephesians 1, verses 17 to 23. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, might give unto you the spirit of wisdom in revelation and the knowledge of Him. Well, how does He do that? By teaching us, because we're all taught of God, right? The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. There was a time when they weren't enlightened, but now they are, by the regenerating power of the Holy Spirit of God, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power. Salvation's of the Lord, beloved, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power. Okay. We'll continue reading this, and we'll go to our verse. So, far above all principality and power and might and dominion in every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under His feet. He's a ruler. He's the sovereign. And give Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Now this portion of Ephesians will tie right into the latter part of our verse. Let's look at this. So, I'll read the first part again. And ye are complete in Him. So the believer is complete in Christ, which is, being Christ, is the head of all principality and power. So the Scriptures here declare that Christ is the head of all principality and power. And the reason I read that portion in Ephesians, because verse 21 and 22 says, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, in every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under His feet, and give Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. So Paul right here is continuing to build the foundation that he laid in chapter 1. He's continuing to build upon the foundation that he laid in chapter 1 of the all-sufficiency of Christ for the believer and of the deity of Christ. He's here magnifying that Christ Jesus, our Lord, is the head not only of the church, but also of all principality and power. And the Scriptures we looked at in Ephesians plainly declare this as well, that He is head over all principality and power and might and dominion in every name that is named, not only in this world, but also that which is to come. Oh, beloved of God, our Lord Jesus Christ is far superior to all things. Why? Because He's the Creator. He's the Creator. We humans and the angels in this world, and all we see visible and invisible, we're created by Him and for Him, for His glory, to magnify His glory. That's why they're all on His feet. Jesus Christ is God. God came to this earth to save His people from in God, or in the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ, again, who's God in the flesh, all the fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily. And in Him and Him alone, the believer is, our text says tonight, complete. Complete. So here before us in our text, Paul again is contrasting another error with the truth. This latter part that we see here, the head of all principality and power, he's combating another error. He's combating another error that was saying that there was a hierarchy of angels, of heavenly beings, in order to reach God, and Christ was just one of them. Paul, again, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, we must remember that. He's writing by inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. He combats that error by bringing the Colossians, by bringing before the Colossians and bringing before us tonight too, as we read this scripture, that Christ is the head of all principality and power, that there is nothing above Him, and that all things are under Him. Look at this. And He is the head. The head gets the preeminence. He is the head of all principality and power. He is the all-sufficient Savior. Turn, if you would, to John chapter 17. So Paul is, again, building upon the foundation of the all-sufficiency of Christ, right? And he's also building upon what he's written in chapter 1, that Christ is the Almighty God. He is God Almighty. Look at John 17. Look at this. Lord willing, sometime I'm going to go through that chapter. What a beautiful chapter in the Scripture. Look at this, John 17, verses 2 to 4. Our Master speaking here. The one we're complete in speaking here. The Lord Jesus Christ. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Now contrast that to the false teachings of our day that says, God's done all he can do, now the rest is up to you. That's a lie. Look what the Scripture says. As thou hast given him, given Christ, power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, in Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have what? Finished. Finished. Finish the work which thou gavest me to do. Do you see why we're complete in Christ? He finished the work. Oh my. Let us rejoice. Let us delight in the fact that we are complete in Christ. He is the all-sufficient Savior of His people. He is God in the flesh. He is perfect. And you can add nothing to He who is perfect. And the believer is complete in Him. Oh my. He is the head, our text continues, He is the head of all principality and power, not only in the church, but over angels, and over kings, and over religious heads, and over governments, and over elections. Oh my beloved. Let us just rest in Him. It's the hardest thing for us to do, isn't it? Oh my. May God give us grace and strength to rest and just trust. Just rest and trust in Him. You know, if God has given us true saving faith, our hope and our trust will be in the Lord Jesus Christ, in Him alone, in what He has done for us. The preaching of the gospel will enable us by God's Holy Spirit teaching us to recognize false doctrine when we hear it. And any teaching that promotes, now listen, any teaching that promotes anything that man does to earn God's favor, any teaching that promotes this is false. It's false doctrine. We are to beware of false preachers who attempt to get you to look to self and not look to Christ. 1 John 4:1 says this, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. And many false prophets have gone out into the world, and we are to beware of them. And those false prophets are advocates of self-righteousness, telling you what you have to do. They tell you to keep the law. They tell you you gotta go to church on certain days. Boy, they got a list so long we could spend all night, but that's just a waste of time. Tell me of Christ. Tell me that I'm complete in Him. Turn, if you would, to Romans chapter 8. This epistle was written to expose the error of adding anything to Christ and to magnify the all-sufficiency of the Lord Jesus Christ in salvation. And praise be to God that all God's elect are complete in Christ, every single one of them. Because we're in Christ, our Heavenly Father sees no sin in us. Now let us remember that. because we're in Christ. Our Heavenly Father sees no sin in us. He remembers our sins no more. Absolutely nothing can be laid to our charge, as God has forgiven us for Christ's sake. And look at Romans chapter 8, verses 32 and 34. Because he spared not his own son, but delivered him up for all of his elect, God himself has justified the believer. God himself. Look at this, Romans 8, 32 and 34. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, that being all the elect of all the ages, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Now look at this. Who shall lay anything? Who shall lay anything? Later on in this chapter, we're going to look at Christ blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. Now, for every one of us, oh my goodness. I know for me, my goodness. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? How can you say that nothing can be laid to the charge of God's elect? Because we're complete in Him, beloved. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? Well, we condemn ourselves, don't we? Oh. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who maketh intercession for us. Beloved, all of God's blessings are given to us in and through the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. And because of Christ, we are given these blessings, and they are all according to the riches of His grace. Now, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? No, God forbid, right? Some falsely teach that because we are complete in Christ, we can do whatever we please, or they accuse us of preaching that. But this freedom does not give us a license to sin, as God's saints hate sin more in themselves than anywhere else. We're alive unto God by the quickening power of God, the Holy Spirit. And we're to live for His glory. Job, in the Scriptures, proclaims this. Job 32:18. Now, I've always quoted 2 Corinthians 5:14, right? You've probably heard me quote that many times. The love of Christ constraineth us. And that's why we mourn when we sin. That's why we're constrained from sin, because of the love of Christ. I found this in Job today. For I am full of matter, Job 32:18. For I am full of matter, the spirit within me constraineth me. John Gill said the Holy Spirit constrains us. He said in this verse, this is the Holy Spirit. For I am full of matter, the Spirit within me constraineth me. The Holy Spirit constrains us. Now true God-given faith, which works by love, echoes the passage in Job as it's proclaimed in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14, which says the love of Christ constrains us. This constraining love motivates God's children to walk as children of light for the glory of Jesus Christ. Because we who believe are complete in Him, as our text has proclaimed. So what can we conclude then from this precious scripture tonight? We can conclude that salvation's of the Lord. That it's all of Him. And that the believer is made complete in Christ. He's made complete in Christ and in Him alone, and he needs nothing else. Nothing else. Let's look at one more time at our verse. And ye are complete in Him. Colossians 2:10. And ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. So let us ponder this. Since all the fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily in Christ, then the believer is complete in Christ Jesus our Lord. For all our justification is in Him, and in Him alone. And there is absolutely nowhere else to look. Nowhere else to look. We have no need to look anywhere but Christ for our redemption, because we're complete in Him. We have nowhere else to look for our justification, because we're complete in Him. We have nowhere else to look for our sanctification, because we are complete in Him. All our spiritual needs are found in Christ, in Him alone. And the believer is complete in Christ. So let us close thinking on these things. These precious truths for the believer in Christ, whose Scripture says, our Scripture tonight says, that the believer is complete in Him. As far as anything being needed for the redemption of our souls, complete in Him. As far as any works to be done to be justified before God, complete in Christ. As far as our peace with God, because we were at enmity with Him, weren't we? Complete in Christ. Job asked the question in Job 25:4, how then can a man be justified with God? Or how can he be clean that is born of a woman? The answer to the question that Job asked is this: the Lord Jesus Christ has reconciled and redeemed His people by the shedding of His own precious blood, and the believer in Christ is saved, forgiven, justified, sanctified, and redeemed. They are complete in Christ. Complete in Christ. May God help us to keep looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And God's people say, Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, gracious Heavenly Father, may we delight, we who believe, may we delight in the fact that we are complete in Christ right now. Oh, may this fill our hearts with joy that we are clothed in the righteousness of Christ. May we think upon this and meditate upon this through the week. And may it bring joy to our hearts, and may it fill our lips with praise, giving all the glory to Thee. Oh, we love You. In Jesus' name, amen.